Laurel Hill. Laurel Hill was infamous in the guidebooks used by emigrants heading west. Originally a series of at least three chutes, wagons were tied to trees by rope or held back in the steep chutes by dragging big logs. This was one of the most difficult pieces of the Oregon Trail. Pioneers named the hill from the resemblance of local rhododendron leaves to those of the eastern laurel plant. At Laurel Hill, the early Barlow Road went from the summit of Laurel Hill at 3,600 feet elevation, descending nearly 2,000 feet to the base of Laurel Hill. At least five identifiable chutes are present on the side of the treacherous slope. Many Oregon Trail travelers considered descending this hill the worst part of their journey west. The hardest part of the journey was the descent. The slope was so steep that only a few laurels clung to it. In places, the grade on Laurel Hill was 60%. Men, oxen, and wagons inched down the backward-leaning cliff. The slope was worn with ruts 5 to 7 feet deep. One wheel might drop 3 feet over a boulder, while another dropped into a 2-foot hole. Wagons slid down the hill with all wheels locked, and a 40-foot-long tree behind for additional braking, the outstretched branches gouging the soil. At the foot of the hill, the tree was left to block the next wagon. Sources: focusnps.gov/pdf/host/docs/nrhp/text/92000334.pdf, thebarlowroad.com/barlowroadlaurelhill.html, and the Barlow Road by Clackamas County Historical Society and Wasco County Historical Society.
Esther Bell McMillan Hanna, September 14, 1852, Laurel Hill.
We have resumed our journey. Had miserable roads over sloughs and streams. Our mare appeared so feeble that I could not think of riding over bad roads, so we both walked. Came to Laurel Hill, which is the elephant on these mountains. To give an idea of the descent of this hill would be impossible, for it surpasses anything I ever saw or heard of for badness. It is a mile in length and very steep, full of large, loose rock, and a stream runs down it all the time. We had a difficult time getting our mules and horse down, as they would slide on the rock and were in constant danger of tumbling down. When we got them halfway down, we were obliged to stop and rest them as they were so fatigued. We got them down safely and felt very thankful. Their frightened eyes and frantic struggling to get down this terrible hill still haunts me. Some men's hearts died within them. Some of our women sat down by the roadside and wept, saying that they had abandoned all hope of ever reaching the promised land. I saw women, with babies but a week old, toiling up the mountains in the burning sun on foot because our jaded teams were not able to haul them. We went down mountains so steep that we had to let our wagons down with ropes. My husband and I carried our children up muddy mountains in the Cascades, half a mile high, and then carried the loading of our wagons up on our backs piecemeal, as our cattle were so reduced that they were unable to haul our empty wagon. Traveled on for some distance, and overtook our two young men again as they had started ahead of us in the morning. We ate our dinner of dried bread and a cup of water out of Big Sandy, which flowed hard by. Cut some alder brush for our stock, as there was no grass. This, by the way, is a common method of feeding on the mountains, to cut down the branches of alder and maple for the cattle to browse upon. They liked it very well. We went on a little further after we had rested, but soon found that our mare could not travel any longer. She was so reduced for want of proper food and the hard travel of the forenoon. So we concluded to stop and rest for the afternoon and night. We selected our camp and halted. The young men were out of provisions by this time, and ours were far spent. We knew not what to do. We asked two or three wagons for flowers they passed, but they had none to spare, as there are many families now almost famishing. Fortunately, a young man from the valley, who had come out to meet friends, came past. He had a little flour to spare, which he gave us with a tin full of rice, for which he would take nothing. We were very thankful for it, but we had neither salt, nor saleratus, nor anything to bake in. Mr. H. went to a camp near and got a little of each with a skillet to bake in. I made up the dough, kneaded it in a cloth, and baked it. It looks good, for all that it had nothing but water, salt, and saleratus in it. Feel very weary tonight, having walked from 15 to 20 miles today.
Philora Vanderburgh, February 6, 1864, past Laurel Hill. At last we reached Barlow Bridge, high, high above the rugged river. This was the end of the terrible canyon road. At the gate on the farther side, Father paid the toll and we drove through. Here, for the first time on the journey, our right-of-way was challenged. As we drove through the gate, an old billy goat disputed our right to pass. He looked so absurd dancing about, his head nodding up and down as he threatened the big horses, that we all had to laugh. Evidently, he did not like our appearance. Finally, rather than be driven over, he edged to the side of the road, and we left him and his little band of goats behind and headed for Barlow Pass. We were now nearing our journey's end. 3 days at the most, and we would reach Salem. Father and mother would meet friends from whom they had been separated long. We camped that night near the summit of the Cascade Mountains, Mount Hood gleaming near us. About our camp, many of the trees had been felled. The stumps were a puzzling sight to me. Fully 20 feet above the ground, they had been chopped off with axes. I asked Father how it could have been done.